The story behind the song. Now, the strange story of a man who, for a time, lost sight of the value of a work he had created. A songwriter who had written a melody and lyrics destined to be a smashing success, but who refused to believe in his own creation. One day, some years ago, a young man sat alone in his music studio in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, gazing in reflective mood out onto the hurrying throngs who sped by his door. At last, a stranger pauses, looks at the address above the door, hesitates, finally enters.
Yes, sir?
I'm not going to talk to you about that house you advertised for rent.
What did you say? House?
Yes, $50 a month, your ad said, including water.
I'm afraid you've come to the wrong place, sir.
Oh.
I'm a music teacher, not a real estate agent.
Music? Oh, your name isn't Judson?
No, sir. I'm sorry. My name's Harris, Charles K. Harris. I teach banjo.
Oh, banjo. I'm sorry to bother you.
Not at all, sir. I think you'll find Judson's office right across the street.
Thank you.
Another false hope. $50 a month, including water. Yeah. The hot and cold running banjos. Wait a minute, Jimmy. Wait until your fingers are placed before you hit the chord. Try it again. Come on. Uh-huh. Now try number five. That'll be fine, Jimmy. I think that'll be enough to keep you busy on those new exercises for a while.
How do you think Jimmy's doing, Mr. Harris? Do you think he'll ever be a great banjoist like you?
Well, I hope he'll be a lot more successful than I've been, Mrs. Walters. Oh. In fact, I'm going to ask you to find a new teacher for Jimmy.
What? A new teacher?
Yes, I'm closing my studio.
Oh, no.
Well, business hasn't been very good, Mrs. Walters. I haven't had a new pupil in 2 months.
Oh.
Some of my old ones have left. There's nothing left for me but to quit.
Oh, Mr. Harris, I'm so sorry. What are you going to do?
I'm not quite sure. I've written a few songs. I'm going to take them to publishers and try to get them put out in sheet music.
Writing songs? Oh, but Mr. Harris, that's so...
Uncertain?
So, yes. Yeah.
Well, but I'm young. I have ambition. If that doesn't turn out for me, well, I can always try something else.
I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Harris. It's been such a pleasure coming here for Jimmy's lessons. Well, I do wish you all the luck in the world with your songs.
Well, thank you, Miss Walters. And same to you with finding a new teacher.
No, I'm sorry. We're not taking on any new songs just now.
I've told you before, Mr. Harris, we don't like your songs and we don't want them.
Now listen, Harris. I've told you repeatedly. We don't like your so-called songs. We don't have any use for them. And the next time you come around bothering us with them, I'll throw you right out in your ear.
So the discouraging refusals of publishers to place Harris's songs on the market piled one on the other, each more vehement than the one preceding, until one day...
Now, Mr. Harris, I've asked you not to bother us with those songs of yours. We're not taking any more just now.
Yes, I know. But I want to publish this myself.
But I tell you that... what?
Yes, I'm going to pay you for printing it.
Oh,
You don't have to take any risk. As a matter of fact, if my credit isn't good, I'll be glad to pay you in advance.
Well, I don't think that'll be necessary, but... Well, perhaps just a slight advance deposit on the job. Say one-third.
Slight advance? I see. Well, all right. Whatever it is, I'll pay it. Here's the manuscript, and get it out as soon as you can.
Thus, the first of the songs from the pen of Charles K. Harris was published at his own expense. Now came the thankless task of making the rounds of music dealers, trying to interest them in his new songs, to place them on their counters for sale. But, well, yes, you've guessed the result. The dealers weren't interested. Just as the songwriting career of Charles Harris seemed doomed for oblivion, there came to his lodgings one day a stranger, a man who was to be the pivotal point in the life of the youthful musician.
Just a moment, please. How do you do?
Are you Mr. Harris?
Yes.
Mr. Charles K. Harris?
I am, yes.
May I talk with you a moment or two?
Oh, of course. Excuse me. Come in, please. Won't you sit down?
Thank you. I understand you've written some songs.
Well, yes, I have. I've been told they're not going to amount to much.
My name is Libby. J. Aldrich Libby.
Oh, yes. You're singing in the production A Trip to Chinatown.
Quite correct.
Well, I'm very glad to meet you.
Thank you. Mr. Harris, I'm looking for some new material to put into the act, some new songs. I've been told you have some I might find suitable.
Well, just a moment. I have the copies of some of them right here. I'll get them for you. Yeah. Here are four of them. The ones I had... the ones I published.
Do you mind if I look them over a moment?
Well, not at all.
Well, this one doesn't look very well. Now, let's see this one. Say, I like this one.
That one? Oh, Mr. Libby, that song's as dead as a doornail. It's been lying around publishers' offices and dealer's stores for months. The only people who ever took to it at all, and some of them still sing it once in a while, are the girls in the burlesque houses and dance halls.
Yes. Well, I've noticed they seem somehow to have a nose for a hit. I think I'll try this in the act. How about an orchestration?
I never had one made. Well, I don't think the number's worth having one done now. I appreciate what you're trying to do for me, Mr.
I'm not trying to do anything for you, young man. I'm trying to find a song to sing in my act. I firmly believe I've found it. I'll have an orchestral arrangement made myself, if you'll agree to my singing it.
Well, of course. But I rather wish you'd selected one of my other songs.
I'm sorry, Mr. Harris. This is the one I want. And with not too much ostentatious pride, may I say that I think I may be able to do something toward reviving interest in it.
And J. Aldrich Libby was right. The song was a sensation. Overnight, orders began drifting in, then piling in. The printers were avalanched with frantic instructions from Harris for more and more copies of the song. The young songwriter was forced to set up an office, engage an office force. His place of business became a hectic maelstrom of activity. Orders received, acknowledged, and filled. Shipping instructions, wrapping, mailing, billing, checks, money orders, and currency swamped Harris under a deluge of welcome but unexpected affluence. Unable to attend to the detail of bookkeeping, he flung his receipts into a safety deposit box to await a less harassing day to sort them out and determine his actual income. At last, a certified accountant was called in to check Harris's accounts.
Harris?
Yes? Oh, Mr. Phelps.
I've completed, rearranging your account.
Rearranging?
Yes.
You mean... straightening out, don't you?
Well, yes, to be frank, yes.
Well, Mr. Phelps, tell me. What have you found?
Well, I hope this won't be too much of a shock.
Well, go on.
You have made a profit to date on this song, of just on this one song, you understand, of more than $50,000. Mr. Harris, did you hear what I said?
Yes. Yes, I heard what you said. And I told Aldrich Libby that he was crazy to try to revive After the Ball.